Today, our special guest, Corey Walker, a multi-instrumentalist, just released a new album with some of his friends entitled Section House, a collection of instrumentals. We're going to talk to Corey about that band, how they got together, and why they put those songs on that album, which you've heard a couple cuts over the last several weeks on this program, certainly. It's a fine, fine recording, and really you're going to want to hear young Corey Walker talk about this fabulous new collection of instrumental tunes from his group, Section House, and you're going to enjoy talking to Corey. There's a story at the very end I can explain to you later that Corey mentions as we're closing down the interview, and I can then we'll get right into Corey Walker's visit with Unreal Bluegrass. Thanks so much for tuning in. I'm really happy to have on Unreal Bluegrass today Corey Walker. How you doing, Corey?
I'm doing good, Steve. How you doing?
Doing good. Listen, I'm so thrilled to get a chance to speak to you again, and especially on the occasion of this new album, Section House, which is a collection of instrumentals that you're on. Ever since I've gotten it, Corey, it's been in my rotation on a regular basis. This is the kind of music that I really, really enjoy just getting into and kind of focusing on, and I want to talk to you about your bandmates on this album and exactly how this came to be. Now, I'll tell the audience that on the album there are four public domain songs. Of course, then you have a version of Foggy Mountain Breakdown in G minor. That's Earl.
That's right.
Then everything else comes from within members of the band, except for the Nintendo tune.
That's right. Yeah.
All right. Which I thought
that didn't come from us.
No, it did not. All right. Listen, Corey, let's talk about how you came together. I understand how it occurred, but I want you to explain to the audience what was in your mindset when you decided to get together. Tell me who's in the band and then how this collection came to be.
Cool. Yeah. So the band is Aaron Ramsey, who plays mandolin for Mountain Heart, Jeff Parton on bass and dobro, who plays with Mountain Heart as well and played with Volume 5 and various other acts. Jake Stargell on guitar, who played with the Green Cards, Mountain Heart, was a bandmate of mine in Sierra Hall's band before she started doing a duo on the road very recently. And he plays with Mike Snyder at Opry every weekend.
It's a good gig.
Yeah. And then Brian McDowell plays fiddle, and he tours with the Clara Lynch Band and sometimes with Allison Brown Quartet. My brother, actually, who's not on this album, also plays with Clara Lynch. So we're kind of all connected. And then I've been playing with the Dillards, Rodney Dillard and his band, and then Chris Henry and the Hardcore Grass, as well as a bunch of other things. Yeah, so we've just kind of all been friends, especially Aaron, Jake, Brian, and myself. And I hadn't really met Jeff until Aaron introduced all of us to him, and he's just a phenomenal player, and it just made sense. And Aaron kind of really pushed us recording something, so we decided to kind of have like a, you know, not worry about it too much, kind of do just a live what you see is what you get feel, and people seem to really like it. So
it's really well done. Am I safe in saying that? I think the skill level that everybody brings to this is pretty comparable. I mean, I think you guys, to the extent of this, Corey, I think you all feel comfortable going where you want to take the tunes. You know that the guys in the band with you are going to be able to go with you and then kind of build off of that. I get that feeling of comfort.
Awesome. Yeah. Yeah. I think trust is definitely something that good music should have within the members that are, you know, participating. Yep. Then you can extend people out on a limb and, you know, make sure, you know, if they start to fall, you got them,
yeah.
Or whatever.
Yeah. Had you guys been together, just kind of informally playing, and how did you get this particular group in one spot at the same time?
You know, that was kind of just something like an inner conversation that we had among Aaron and Jake Stargell and myself, and then Brian a little later. For a few years now, we've just said, we need to record something, because on Aaron's last record, it's not out yet, it's getting ready to come out, Jake and Brian and myself are all over that. And, you know, it was a blast. So we were like, man, we need to do this. But a lot of times Aaron would double up on bass and mandolin. So, and yeah, so, and then we didn't have a dobro. So, and Jeff's so phenomenal on both. So.
Okay. Where did you do this? Was, I mean, how did you pick? I'm just curious about things like this that I can't pick up from necessarily the liner notes, but where did this take place?
We recorded it in Willis, Virginia at the Mountain Fever studio, Mark Hodges' studio.
Mm-hmm.
Really cool place.
And before we forget, it's released on Mountain Fever, correct?
That's right.
Yeah. When did you put this together? It just came out. I think I just got maybe a month or so ago. But when did you do all this recording?
You know, I think we did the first tracks at the very beginning of 2015, I believe. So, I believe that's when it was. Maybe winter, the winter season, right before spring of 2015.
Okay. What were the first tracks? Did you start with some of the public domain things or some of the original compositions? Do you remember?
I'm not sure about that one. I think the first tune we did was Shaking Down the Acorns.
Okay.
Pretty sure that's right, which is like an old time tune that happens to be the first tune of the record.
Right.
And you know, it's a little different. It's pretty cool. I really like that track.
It's a great, and that's one of the public domain. The first three cuts on the album are Shaking Down the Acorn, Dance All Night, and Snowflake Reel, and I think that the listeners to this album, when they get their hands on it, will recognize the melodies contained. Whether they know the names of the tune, they'll certainly recognize the melodies. And then you get into one of the original tunes from within the band, Veil of Questions. Here's something to me that, because I know your skill level, Corey, I know you much better than the rest of these people. And I want the listeners to know that this isn't just a bunch of high-level, talented instrumentalists showing off, all right? You know what I mean by that? You're not just trying to fill all the space with as many notes as you can. There are gorgeous melodies that come within or from the members of the band, and there's some really, it's just really pretty stuff that you do. I mean, there's tunes that are fun to listen to, and I'm not talking about the tempo at this point, but there's some really, really pretty melodies that people should be aware of. That this is, you have a lot of respect for the melody. You're not trying to trample over it to show off on top of each other. I think there's a lot, maybe that's what we're getting at, is that the reason you're comfortable with this group of guys is you all have the same respect for the melody within the song.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
Yeah.
I think sensibility is one of the most important parts of playing music. You know, the old saying, knowing, you know, what not to play.
That's right.
When not to play it.
That's right. Yeah, sometimes not playing is important as what you play. Now, I will tell the listeners also that, you know, Corey, you're not a stranger to just straight jazz. I mean, I've heard you play Coltrane tunes on different recordings and live and whatnot. And that's not what this is, right?
No, this is a little more close to home as far as maybe a more bluegrass sound, but it definitely has aspects of more jazz in the spirit of just experimentation.
So I
think that the listeners will find that they hear that. It's definitely not a jazz record.
No, but you're right. It captures the spirit of the freedom to create within, you know, the melody that you're playing. But they're not going to hear jazz chords or jazz breaks or jazz, you know, notes like that. This is
right.
Where yeah, you know what I'm talking about.
Totally. Although everybody in the band, I would say, or most people in the band, listen to jazz very often.
Well, all right. I knew that you did just because I know you better than everybody else, and I know where you're coming from, and I know that you have a wide music taste, and you address them all at some point in different bands that I've seen you in recordings. I know I've got Mr. PC somewhere on that might be the Walker Brothers CD. I might have.
Oh,
somewhere.
Yeah.
Okay. A tune like right after you get rid of the first three, if they're listening, not get rid of, but they listen to the first three tunes. Veil of Questions and Lost Partners, Promenade, and Pouches. Those are just really, really beautiful melodies. And you guys are really, you're really gentle with developing those melodies and sharing, and I just and Pouches in particular, I have different favorites on different days, but as we were thinking about getting ready for today, Pouches to me is just, it's just a gorgeous melody. It's fun to listen to.
Oh yeah, now yeah, Jake Stargell wrote that one, mm-hmm. and it really. I remember when he was messing with it, you know, for the last 2 or 3 years or so, and I'd always tell him, man, we need to record that. I really have tremendous respect for people that can write a melody that's long, but simple, as in not many notes.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, there's a lot of integrity in the melody.
Right.
And I'll tell him you said that. It's really cool. Really cool song.
How do you decide? And I figure if you guys are getting together and you kind of know each other and you're going to, hey, let's do something and record. How do you make the selection? There's 11 cuts on the Section House album. How do you make the selection as to what tunes you're going to actually put out?
You know, personally, I generally... will write down tunes that, you know, interest me, that just come up on a note on my iPhone, and just the same note, and just keep adding tunes. And I think everybody kind of does that, or at least keeps a mental note of tunes they like of themselves, or of a different artist, or older songs. And everybody generally has a bag of songs when you meet, you know, it's kind of, it seems to be a common thing.
You obviously came to this session, the Section House session, and if you're just tuning in, we're talking to Corey Walker, a latest album that he's on, Section House. You obviously had more than 11 tunes when you wound up at this at the studio. So how do you narrow it down to 11? Is it just kind
totally.
Of totally? Huh?
I said totally. So, well, you know, there's a lot of tunes, but at a certain point, you go, well, how about if we just did this one on the next album, you know? Because we were ready to get it out and wanted people to hear what we were doing, and we'd like to do more of them. So, So really, really, it's not really a major decision to make it 11. Yeah, I don't know.
I understand. Corey, you have to understand, I have no way of relating to that choice, that the way those decisions are made. And I'm always curious about when musicians are in, you know, how do you reach that decision? It sounds to me like it wasn't a real difficult selection that you made. Maybe it's easier by the fact that you're going to do another one or you're anticipating another one.
Right,
okay.
Definitely.
Okay. Patty on the Turnpike is a tune that everybody knows. I like this treatment. It's just do you, this is not, you know, this is not the traditional Patty on the Turnpike in my mind. In particular on this, a tune that's that well known, how do you approach it to fit it into an instrumental album?
Well, you know, this one came about very, very casually. I think Aaron said it was just as casual as, hey man, why don't we do Patty on the Turnpike, and everybody's like, all right,
okay.
Because it's a fun song to solo over, and Aaron's, you know, got great rhythm, and you know it's going to feel good. That's one thing about the project is it's very live, but it tends to really feel really good because everybody's pretty strong rhythmically. Well, very strong, actually.
No question about that.
On Patty on the Turnpike, it's especially fun on banjo, you know, being tuned to G. You can really, you know, mess with things. Like, take this and turn it upside down and take a component out of it and, you know, wait a little bit until you come up. Present that. Tough to explain.
I know it is, but I'm trying to get, you know, when you speak around it in these terms, at least the listeners can get some impression of what's going through your head. We'll never be inside your head, all right? I'm not trying to do that. That's impossible.
I don't want anybody to.
Let me ask you this. You were talking about what your banjo and what you were doing and playing over Patty. What were you playing? What instrument were you playing mostly on this album?
I played all banjo on this album. Well, I didn't do anything else.
Okay. Right after, if we go down the list here, Rat King, I've played, you know, when I got this album, the very first tune that I played on the air was Foggy Mountain Breakdown in G minor. I really like that. But I've also played Rat King. I happen to favor banjos because it's something that I fool with myself. But the tune that you wrote on here, Rat King, is a really nice little banjo tune. And I was curious when you wrote that or how you came up with it. If it was that obvious of an idea, or you just something that you put together.
You know, Rat King. Came to me, the first part of the melody came to me probably 2 years ago or so, and it was something, that first part, you know,
mm-hmm.
The first few seconds of it came to me, and you kind of got to see where it's going, and some days you don't know, but as you're writing a melody, you kind of have to, you can't think too much, but you got to concentrate and just kind of see where the melody's headed, and finally it ended up where it ended up, and then I added a second part that seemed to make sense, and some of the guys in the studio, we were working with it, and they were like, man, that's awesome, let's do that.
That's a great tune. It's a great tune. Anybody that's listened to Unreal Bluegrass has probably heard that a couple of times already, so, and they will more. As a matter of fact, I'll tell you this, when this interview airs, when I open the show up, that will contain this conversation right now, I will have already played Rat King at the top of the hour, as is my habit. When a guest is on, I start off the show with a tune so they can get ready for the next hour when the guest comes on. So they're going to hear Rat King. And when we finish up here, you and I talking, I want you to tell me what tune you would like to play right after I say goodbye, and I'll put that in. But Rat King's already a done deal for this part of the show.
Awesome.
Just cool. So you know. Thanks. Yeah, and then that's followed by King and Water. Cooper's Road. Now, it's a Nintendo. It's a Nintendo melody, and I want you to explain to the listeners how Section House. And if you're just tuning in, it's Corey Walker, who has a great new album, Section House, with some good friends. He's been describing how the process of how it came about. Cooper's Road, though, is a Nintendo. Now, where did that come from?
You know, that came from Jake Stargell. He was, I don't know, probably Googling or YouTubing something, and I remember him talking about The Legends of Zelda, a bunch of melodies off that Nintendo 64 game, saying, man, it'd be cool to play this, kind of like more of a Coltrane, his first band's sound, you know, like My Favorite Things.
Oh, yeah.
Thing. But this one comes from Mario, Super Mario 64, and it's basically the road when you're Mario and you're getting ready to fight Bowser, the evil boss of the game.
Yeah.
As you're headed there, that's what's playing. So I think a lot of people, especially people my age, will really recognize that, and it's we're really happy with how it turned out.
It is. It's great, and you immediately recognize the melody. Let me ask you this. There was one of the tunes from Mario Brothers that everybody has covered on YouTube. I mean, everybody. And I can't remember what it was. It wasn't this one. Was it just the theme of Mario Brothers? That's exactly. Why did that stick in so many players' heads? I mean, there's some great people that have covered that on YouTube.
Oh yeah, well, you know, it's great. You know, you could play that melody with jazz changes. You know, I think that people just recognize it.
They
so
recognize
much.
It. Yeah.
It's just, you know, it's the same thing as playing "Baby" by Justin Bieber. You know, on every instrument or whatever. Just something. Obviously, I favor one over the other.
That's right. I get you. It's
I don't
fun.
Know, a bunch of people seem to cover the same stuff. There's trends, and I think YouTube has really, really accelerated that.
Yeah. What the last cut on the album, and I'm not going to keep you all day, is Foggy Mountain Breakdown in G minor. That had to be, and of course it's the Earl Scruggs tune. But who wanted to play it in G minor?
You know, that was the idea of there was a session that was done, and this was probably 4 or 5 years ago, and I think it was Aaron's idea, and he was calling it Froggy Mountain Breakdown.
Yeah.
But we just didn't want to, you know, not give Earl credit on the album, because it's obviously his tune, mm-hmm. but inverted. And so they cut it on a session for something, and I heard it, and you know, everybody thought it was funny how it sounds like that, and pretty cool, you know. It opens up a whole different sound to play over. Yeah, and obviously Earl Scruggs is I don't have a bigger hero than Earl Scruggs, but I have some that measure up to him, you know, Bela.
Oh yeah, sure.
And then other musicians across different genres.
It's a nice treatment of Foggy Mountain Breakdown. It's one that we all learn and try to learn. None of us really play it like Earl, but I liked it. I enjoyed it. As a matter of fact, if you like, well, you can pick whatever you want as we're winding down. You tell me which of the tunes, as we say goodbye, which we'll do in a minute because I know you have things to do. Do you want to say goodbye and then let the listeners hear Foggy Mountain Breakdown in G minor, or do you want to pick one of the other tunes?
That would be fine. Either that or A Lost Partner's Promenade.
Oh, it's gorgeous.
One of Aaron's tunes.
That's beautiful. Okay, all right. Well, you know what? They've heard Foggy Mountain Breakdown in G minor from me before. They'll hear it again. But as we're saying goodbye today, we'll go ahead and play Lost Partner's Promenade because that's just a really nice, and I say they're all nice melodies. And I really appreciate the skill you guys bring to this and the taste. You know, I think that the taste and the sensibility, your word, which is a better word than mine, that you have in respect for the, and you're playing around the melody, you're not losing it, you're not trying to show off all of you could. But it's just this album is so much fun for me, and I think anyone that listens to it that likes playing and likes instrumentals are just going to absolutely fall in love with it.
Thanks a lot, Steve. I really appreciate that. You can see the album on iTunes. You can buy the album on iTunes, CD Baby, Amazon. Please like us on Facebook.
Yeah.
At Section House. You just search Section House. And house as in a home or dwelling, not a how's it going.
You had to go a long way because I didn't even think of that.
Oh, yeah. Well, right. I accidentally sent that in a text the other day.
Okay.
Right. You can also buy the album from me at Corey Walker, CoreyWalker Banjo, Banjo at gmail.com, and I can send it to you.
Okay.
Hope you guys really enjoy the album.
Well, you must have had fun doing it. It's fun to listen to, and I appreciate you making time to drop by Unreal Bluegrass. You're always welcome. I'm always happy to see you out on the road, and I'm sure that I will somewhere in the coming year.
Absolutely, Steve. I really appreciate it.
Thanks, man. Hey, listen, say hi to your pop for me, okay?
I sure will. And thanks again for when I forgot a banjo at that show, bringing yours. I really appreciate that.
That was such a fluke. I have to tell you, and I explain this really quickly. I don't even know why I looked at the page at that time, but you were in my area, and you had just forgotten your banjo, and it happened to be, you know, within 10 minutes of me, and I ran home and brought you up. But honestly, as to why I looked then, I have no idea. It just worked out well, so I'm glad I was able to help you out.
Yeah, I really appreciate that.
You're welcome, man, anytime. All right, listen, Corey Walker, Section House is a great new album. I appreciate all the effort from all the band. Tell them for me that it's a top instrumental album in my mind for this year, so I appreciate you stopping by, man.
Awesome. Thanks so much.
All right, see you, Corey.
All right, we'll see you, Steve.
Bye-bye. The story on the banjo deal was just exactly as it came out. For some reason, I looked at social media, and Corey was in my neck of the woods, and he had come up to a show at the time. He was touring with Sierra Hall, and didn't have a banjo, didn't have a dobro. I took him both. My instruments never sounded better, ever, ever, and will never sound better than when Corey Walker was playing those instruments. And just a wonderful, you know, I've known Corey since he was a very small lad, and know his father well. That's why I wanted to make sure that he extended greetings to his father. Thanks again, Corey Walker.